But in John chapter 18, I'm going to preach something today. I'm going to call this, "To This End Was I Born." You'll see that in the passage. "To This End Was I Born." In John chapter number 18, beginning in verse number 28, you'll notice that the Word of God, that it does say this: "Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell of thee?" Jesus was looking for some faith there. He says, is this what you know to be true, or did you just hear this from somebody else? Verse 35, Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth, that every one that is of truth heareth my voice." Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" There's a good question there about that verse. I was thinking about that, and there's a note in the Bible. You know, many people still don't have the answer to this question, what is truth? And so they do the same thing Pilate did. They handle Jesus according to popular opinion. Because that, you know what Pilate did? Because Pilate said, "I found no fault in him." But he said, "Whatever y'all want to do with Jesus, I'll just go along with it." And they wanted to crucify him because he did not know the truth of the person. May it not be so of us. But the message comes from verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born." Father, you know what you like to do. So rearrange everything you need to arrange and move the way you need to move so that your perfect will be done. In Jesus' name, I ask this all. Amen. All right. Great passage. There's every passage in the Bible. I thank God for the Word of God. And we see our Savior here, and he's getting ready to be crucified, as you know from the context. And he's about ready to die. And Pilate is looking for some answer from Jesus Christ. And Jesus makes a rather amazing statement regarding what he knows about himself, what he knows about his purpose, what he knows about his being. And many of us, sometimes we often get confused about what our purpose is. And if Jesus is a perfect example of everything, and he is, by the way, we can find a lot of information just looking into the life of Jesus. He makes a statement to Pilate. Pilate can't understand why this man that is being condemned to death by his nation and by his people, why he has no reaction, why he's not doing what normal people do. He's not frantic. He's not panicked. He's not looking to argue against the authority that brought him here. He's not even arguing against the accusations that brought him unto Pilate. Because Jesus had a great understanding. He said, "To this end was I born." Three thoughts from the passage. Number one, I was born for a future kingdom and not for a present kingdom. He said, "I was born for a future kingdom and not for a present kingdom." Because he said in verse 36, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight." There's a lot of, you can learn a lot from that statement right there. I think of how the Bible says that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. You know, we highly esteem our freedom, and many times we fight so desperately to preserve our life, preserve our freedom. We fear the government taking control, and we fear Big Brother, is whatever they call it is. And Jesus understood this kingdom is not of this world. And his freedom was being restrained. His liberty was being taken away. In fact, his very life was getting ready to be removed. But he said, you know what? To this end was I born. I wasn't born for this kingdom. Because if this were why I was here, my servants would fight for me. What are his servants fighting for right now? His servants are in this room. What are we fighting for? What is the believers all around the world fighting for? Hopefully not for this kingdom. Hopefully they're fighting for the future kingdom. Because he says here that they would fight, last part of verse 36, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. My kingdom is not right now. Hold your place here. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Look at a couple of verses here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And you can mark 2 Corinthians 4. We're going to come back to it in just a moment also. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse we referenced before, but it says, for our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not on the things which are seen, but in the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Now, you always wonder, how could you just say our light affliction but for a moment? Well, because affliction is something we see right now and endure right now. So we know it's temporal at best. But what we can't see is the eternal. So the temporal compared to the eternal is always light. Temporal affliction compared to eternal joy in the presence of God, that makes affliction pretty light. And he says, while we look, verse 18 again, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we're looking for eternal. And we're looking to establish weight in the future kingdom, not in the present kingdom. We're looking to be faithful now. So and when the eternal kingdom begins with Christ and we rule and we are in his presence forevermore, that eternal things he will eternally honor us for our faithfulness, and beyond that we'll eternally be with him, and we'll just be glad to be in his presence. So the future kingdom we live for. That's why we were born. And Jesus understood that fully. And so even on the threat of his own life, he was not intimidated. He was not fearful, because he understood he was born for a future kingdom and not for this present kingdom. There was no desire to rule here. In fact, the Bible says at the point when he knew that they would come by force and make him a king, he turned away from that because he knew the difference between eternal things and temporal things. I was thinking today, you know, so many things that we even earthly speaking, I accomplished. I always laugh when I took the family back to my high school. You know, for a while, when you could ride into New Boston and you could see my name on a billboard of the only team that was 33-0 in state. They used to have it on the highway at state champs, and everybody in school knew me by name. I was most popular every year I was in school. I was class president every year except my senior year. And that year I was a student council president, and just well known. I don't say it to brag, but then, because this is the funny part, when I take my family back and we're walking through the hallways, and me and my arrogance, I'm thinking, they'll know who I am. But there's a different principal was there, and he's coming to the hallway, and he has the audacity to come up to me and ask me, what am I doing in the hallway? He didn't say it hateful or disrespectful, but he was kind of wondering why I was there. And in my less than humble mindset, I'm thinking, this is my school. But I responded, I told him, no, I said, I used to go to school here. And he said this, he said, I think I've heard of you. But all those, what I'm saying is, all those glories, all those achievements meant absolutely nothing, because it's so temporal. You know, if I'd have left, you know, if let's say I was academic all state and I was all state also, if I'd have went to be the greatest basketball player that ever walked the face of the earth, You know how long that waits, what weight that has when I stand in the presence of Jesus Christ? Absolutely nothing. If I had become the president of the United States, as they predicted me to be, you know what that would have? You know how much that would impress the Lord? You know what that would be in the presence of the Lord? That would be wood, hay, or stubble at best. Now, I listened to a message the other day. You know, I think about wood, hay, and stubble. And one of the preachers said that wood, hay, and stubble are all things that are above ground, that are visible to be seen. But gold and silver are things that have to be mined because they're underneath the earth. And a lot of our most powerful parts of ministry are the things that can't be seen. But you know, when we pray, then it makes its way to the surface. When we walk with God privately, it makes its way publicly. All those things. But so we live for a future kingdom, not a present kingdom, because the things which are seen, they're temporal. You know, and I love to be seen back in those days. But I found out on that trip how exactly temporal it is. And that was, I don't know how many years ago. Was that probably 5 or 6? Was it, how many years ago do you think that was, dear? Was it 14 years that long ago? Now, imagine if we're back now. They really wouldn't know who I was. They'd probably call the police now. I was fortunate enough, the principal came out to meet me and find out. But all temporal. I was thinking, we just had the Pan Am Games. All the joy, the elation. And nothing wrong with joining things on earth, but people gave their lives for a victory that's not eternal. Some have forsaken families. Some have lost families in pursuit of the Olympic or Olympic dreams. I've read different stories about people that basically they lost their family because their goal was to win, to win, to win, to win. We see it in pro sports all the time. All these temporal victories that mean absolutely nothing when they stand before the Lord. And certainly God doesn't mind us enjoying this world, but He didn't want us to live for this kingdom. Now, next thing we see in the passage, number one, number two, he was to this and was I born. He was born, number one, for a future kingdom, not a present kingdom. And he says, number two, I was born to be delivered. I was born to be delivered. Because he says here in verse 36, if this were my kingdom, then would my servants would fight that I should not be delivered up. But now hence is my kingdom not from hence. He says, no, so because it's not my kingdom, and my kingdom's not trying to keep me from being delivered, this cause I was born. I was born to be delivered. We understand he was born to be delivered unto death. That was why he came to. We know that intellectually, and we know that's true, but we struggle oftentimes when it comes to the real Christian life when we're being delivered for being like Jesus Christ. When the life that we're called to live actually causes our very own nation to turn their backs on us. Our very own people to turn their backs on us. I remember, especially being an independent Baptist, you know, or really, I should honestly say, just being a Bible Christian. Traditionally, among black people, we're loyal to church culturally. And we're loyal to different things culturally. And we're loyal to religiosity, if there is such a word, culturally. And when I began to be a Bible believer, it was contrary to anything that were in the culture. And there's a lot of opposition from different people I knew in the culture when I would share things with them from the Bible. Now, in fact, I remember, and it happened to many other black or African American people, whatever makes you feel good, and you use whatever term you want to use. You know, I prefer milk chocolate myself because that's more what I am. But anyway, I'm a child of God. That's the most important thing. But I remember an article coming out saying that I'm not brainwashed, I'm bloodwashed. It's written by a black preacher because when we began to take a stand for biblical truth versus cultural faithfulness, cultural ideology, people thought, well, what's wrong with you? Have you lost your mind? When we actually began to preach to our brothers and sisters that salvation is not by just we were in church several times in a row and all of a sudden we're added to the roll. And the church membership was you had to be saved first and then by faith in Christ, and then you added to church based on profession of faith. These things are biblical. But all those things were when you delivered for simply just living the Bible and then trying to love your own brethren enough to tell them the truth. That's what happened to Jesus. His own nation, his Jewish people that he came to give his own blood for, they turned against him. But he was not disheartened. He was not discouraged because he was born to be delivered. Again, as I mentioned, you can go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 1, the Bible says this: "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this present world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give light unto the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." And notice verse 11. "For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." We're always delivered unto death. That's the cause we're born for. Why? Why? That sounds like such a horrible existence. Well, not if you are glad of your salvation, because it's for Jesus' sake. Why? So that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So through our mortal flesh, this lost and dying world knows Jesus Christ. Knows he's available, and Christ was born to be delivered unto death so they can know the power of the resurrection and know it was available through salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, he's this is what I was born for. Because if my kingdom were right now, I'd fight for this kingdom. I would try to avoid deliverance. I would try to avoid to be delivered unto death. I would fight to keep my life alive as long as I possibly could. But that I was born to be delivered into the hands of those that I actually gave my life for. My trouble. And the apostles understood this. All this trouble they went through, but no, this is okay. Because we're always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. And that's the life they understood to the end they were born. Back in our text in John 18, but notice over in just in chapter 19, looking at verse 6 through 11, "When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered them, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself to be the Son of God." No, he didn't make, that's just who he was. Hey. He didn't make that happen. "When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?" Pilate, he's mystified. He's afraid. He said, these people want to crucify him, and Jesus is just not doing anything about it. He's not saying a word. He said, "Why aren't you talking to me about this? Don't you realize that I have the power to release you? I mean, don't you understand that they really want you dead? And they've come to me to have you put to death, and you're not saying a word. Don't you understand I have power to release you and to keep you from being crucified?" Then Jesus makes a rather amazing statement. I want you to think about this. Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given except it were given. Lead from above. Given from above. You know why there's no persecution in North America right now? Because the power has not been given. I think really God knows we can handle it. Really, what? You know, in these other countries where there's people being persecuted, even unto death, and that's been given. And, you know, they understand that this end they were born. And Jesus understood that. I made a note here in my Bible to fight against the power that God had given so that Jesus could be delivered to be delivered unto death is to fight against God himself. This is why Jesus referred to Peter as Satan when he rebuked the Lord when he spoke of going to the cross. Jesus understood that God himself gave power to the world so Jesus could be delivered unto death. And when Peter tried to rescue the Lord for that, he said, far be it from thee, Lord. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savest the things to be of men, but not the things to be of God. See, Jesus understood very clearly that he was born to be delivered. And God had given power unto men so that he could be delivered unto death so that they could be saved. So that the very people persecuting them unto death, they could be born again, like the centurion. Truly, this be the Son of God. Amen. How did that happen? Because God gave power unto the world to his persecutor, put him to death. Had that power not been given, Jesus would not have died. They would not have seen the manner in which he died. He would not have fulfilled the word of God and all the truth that comes with that. There'd be no need of a Savior, no understanding that a Savior was actually there in our midst. The reason we walk with God and not run from persecution when it happens, because we realize that that's the end we were born for. The Bible does say, yea, and all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And when we understand what Jesus understood, to this end was I born, it gives us a greater mindset to be faithful unto Christ. Then we don't try to escape the cross. We willingly bear the cross because we understand that that is the reason that we were born. We're not born for a present kingdom. We're not born. I'm not born that the world knows who Rhino Harper is. I'm born so that the world knows who Jesus is through the life of Rhino Harper. I'm not born to have a free earthly existence just for myself. I'm born to be delivered always unto death for Jesus' sake, like we read in 1 Corinthians. Why? That the life of Jesus might be manifest, might be known. And if you look at the whole passage there, you know what it says, that if our gospel be hid, it is him to them that are lost. Why is it hid? Because many times I try to escape the end for which I was born. Many times I like Peter's idea. Lord, can you just hang around? Lord, far be it from thee. You don't really want to go through that, do you? I don't want you to go through that. I'm Peter for myself sometimes. That cross is right there. And I speak to myself, no, don't go to that cross. You could do more earthly good without being crucified right now. But that's not the way God's plan is. Last of all, to this end was I born. Jesus says this, to this, verse 37, John 18. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. This cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. I was born to bear witness unto the truth. That's why you were born. That's why I was born, to show the reality of the truth. To bear witness unto the truth. That the truth is a person. The truth really is salvation. The truth is the way of Christ. The truth is the word of God. To this end was I born. As I mentioned last week when we studied Colossians, many will never experience the life that God wants them to have. Because they will never accept the life is actually, will never accept the place where life is really hidden. It's hidden in Christ. And we don't understand our end. We're going to pursue all these things. And all these things will shake us up. You know, I was thinking, I was listening to all the different murders and things that I mentioned earlier. And I said, wow, Jesus is coming soon. I've got to get to the next murderer before they kill somebody. Or really, you can get to the murderer after they killed somebody so they can meet Christ, be saved by the grace of God. We know of saved murderers in the Bible. It's not over just because of these earthly things. Think of it, whatever, I don't know the reason why the woman killed her sister, but I imagine there's some type of torment within her, obviously, and a torment that could only be healed by Jesus Christ. I don't know why rich people continually search the riches and day after day, week after week, month after month, and they still never get fulfilled. But they have an emptiness that can only be filled by the Lord Jesus Christ. The life worshipers, the people that worship his life and goals and hope to live for however long they can live, just to live. And to realize that it's still, at best, is going to end one day. And many hoping to be... I remember reading sometime what is some the people even right now, they pay to have their bodies preserved a certain way in hopes that some other next generation bring them back to life. Pardon me?
Cryogenics.
Yes. And so, and they're hoping for that. They're hoping to have eternal. And I just wish you to know, I've got it, and I can tell you where to find it. It's in Christ. But you know why? You know more people don't know that because I miss often, me personally, the end to which I was born. There are many things in this world that are quite attractive to me. There are many things in this world that are quite comfortable for me. And there's still a part of me that still likes to be liked. There's still a part of me that just doesn't feel good when I'm hated for loving God and doing that which is right. There's a struggle with me. Sometimes I can handle it. You know, somebody the other day that I ran into that just was hateful beyond belief. But God gave me a measure of the Holy Ghost that day. I was so burdened for that person. And I just thank God for that. Because I'm telling the truth, it's not always that way. But that day, by the Spirit of God and the witness of God, I knew that that was the end for which I was born. It possibly was just to manifest Christ to the person that was with the other person. Maybe I can't help the person that was there, but maybe I can help the one that was actually with that person. We're born to bear witness of the truth. Turn back to 2 Corinthians just for a moment. 2 Corinthians, we're almost done here. Is that possible? I have to stretch this out. No, I'm just kidding. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We have many things I could say about bearing witness to the truth, but I wanted to catch one here. In verse 17, it says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." I wrote a note here. The child of God is required to take up his cross to bear the reality of the truth that earthly death, suffering, and sacrifice is the doorway to resurrection power and eternal glory. The child of God is required to take up his cross to bear the reality of the truth that earthly death, suffering, and sacrifice is the doorway to resurrection power and eternal glory. You know, when you and I are faithful, when it doesn't go in our behalf, earthly speaking, and we're not crying about it and murmuring about it and think we have such a bad earthly existence, because we understand that this light affliction is but a moment. But it works in us something far more, something far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. That's the truth we bear witness. We're born to bear witness of the truth that serving God for the eternal far outweighs serving self for the temporal. That's a fact. And as we look for the things which we cannot see, we're able to show forth the reality of the truth in people because we're born to bear witness unto the truth. You know, and the truth is, again, life at best is temporal. But what's happened is, through secular-minded Christianity, God is a tool for a good, positive earthly existence. And what's happened, we worship the earthly existence more than the one who gave us this earthly existence. And it didn't catch God by surprise. He said in the very beginning, Deuteronomy, "When thou wast eaten and thou art full, and they all eat things that you didn't work for or labor for. He said, be careful that you don't forget me. God knew from the very beginning that his abundant blessings will be a great temptation for his very own creation to love his blessings more than the one that gave them those blessings. And so he's looking for some people that understand the end that they were born. They weren't born to live for the blessings. They were born to live for the blesser. And if they have blessings, to God be the glory. If they don't have blessings, to God be the glory. For the life is not to be lived to establish a kingdom here. The life is to be lived for the future kingdom. The life is not to be lived for me to do all I can and, like you said, can what I get. To escape, I've got to be free at all costs. No, Jesus said, no, I was born to be delivered. He was born to be delivered unto death. And then I was born, most importantly, I was born to be a witness of the truth. Why does it more most importantly? Because the truth is the only thing that's set free. And many people could be free, but they just don't believe it. They're not going about what actually makes free. Because if the Bible is true, and it is, if the truth makes you free, to try to pursue freedom any other way is not going to get freedom. Our government is pursuing freedom from a strong military presence. But you know what? Even American men don't have any cause or sense of God and country anymore. Why? Because you know what they realize is vanity. Why doesn't many people are thinking, I don't want to defend my neighbor. I know what my neighbor's like. But when you say, when you think about that from an earthly perspective, I want to see my neighbor. If my neighbor has issues because my neighbor's not born again, my neighbor was just like I was, lost and undone. My lost sin just manifested itself in a different way. But we have a great God and a great Savior. And I thank God. The more I study the person of Christ, the more I love him. I realize, God, there's no one like you. To this end. I mean, really, I think we take for granted, that's just what Jesus was supposed to do. And honestly, I know that's the truth. And that's why most people are bitter at Christian people more than any other people. Because they look at Christian people, I know what they're supposed to be doing. And so when they don't live up to their expectations, they condemn them because that's exactly what they do with Jesus Christ. That's the life he's supposed to live. He can't expect me to do that. And I can't. He can. He commanded you to. He commanded me to. He led the way so he can show the example of perfect humility, having absolutely everything, being in magnificent glory, to be honored from eternity past, to be in complete oneness with the Heavenly Father, to never be around anything that would be sinful, let alone be equated with anything sinful. And then he willingly stepped down and robed himself in flesh to actually be looked upon as if he were human. You realize how dishonoring that is to God when they just think that God is human? I realize he was God in the flesh while he walked here, but he's God. There's none like him. In fact, the thing that causes the great earthly decay is when we begin to bring God down to an image made like to corruptible man. And when we make God like corruptible man, everything decays, everything breaks down, and we forget that he's God. But our God came into this came to the world to this end. He said, I'm not here for this kingdom. I'm here for a future kingdom. And I came to this world for one reason, to be delivered. And I came to this world to bear witness unto the truth. And I think we see that in the life of his followers. And if you're saved today, you're thankful for what Jesus did for you. Hopefully that there's been such a work of grace in your heart because of the salvation of the Lord, you think, wow, Lord, you did that for me and the entire world. It's amazing the way we want to help people. And I say we. I would love to be rich and just pay people's bills and relieve them out of financial pressure. I think of the people that gave me cars in the past and we had no money for cars and everything. I'd like to be rich enough just to drop a car on somebody with no strings attached. I'd like to be wealthy enough to walk up to a perfect stranger that you just know and they're just laboring some job they don't even like because they got bills under the wazoo. And I just, how much are you in debt? And, well, okay, here, I just took care of that. I'd like to go to a person suffering, you know, and physically and just be able to touch every single one of them and heal them. I believe many of them can be healed, by the way. And I like to see people in any type of earthly situation. I like to go in and just to help them temporarily. You know, it's amazing. Many would give their lives to help somebody only temporarily, but so few will give their lives to help people eternally. And it's simply because we've missed the end to which we're doing. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for loving us beyond measure. And Lord, I thank you for this life that you've called me to live. I'm thankful for you being willing in your perfect deity, in your perfect perfect everything. Lord, there really aren't enough adjectives to describe the greatness of yourself. But I thank you for being you. Father, help me to live my life in full recognition of the end for which I was born. Help me to cheerfully and willingly submit to the end, the reason you allowed me to be born, knowing what you did for me that I might be born again. Lord, I pray you touch the hearts of people in this room. And I pray that they'd be willing simply to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many want to be saved, but few really want to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help us all to be followers. Lord, you know, I'll leave this pulpit in this room today, and I'll be tempted to live for a different end. God, help me. Put my hands to the plow in every way possible and not look back. And I pray the same for my brothers and sisters within this room.